Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, Michael Cohen, producer James Platy. Friday night, Friday evening in Lansing. Thank you so much for joining us. On today's program, will you be ready to navigate the healthcare exchange if and when it becomes available under the Affordable Care Act? A new University of Michigan study looks into the kinds of decisions you're likely going to make on the exchange, and we'll find out what they are. And you probably already bought a ticket, but before you get ready to win the Mega Millions lotto and move to a Caribbean island, you should note that one in three lottery winners go broke in 5 years. I'll talk to a financial strategist about how you can avoid the same fate once you win the lotto this evening. But first, Center for Disease Control officials releasing a new report yesterday showing that 1 in 88 children have autism spectrum disorder. It's affecting about 1 million children and teens in the United States. That happened on the same day the state's autism bills were sent to the governor's desk for his signature, although there are plenty of critics of what lawmakers have put together here. To get the details, I'm joined by Democratic Senator Rebecca Warren of Ann Arbor. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be on the show again.
So this is probably a rare moment of bipartisanship at the Capitol. Lawmakers wanted to avoid being viewed as not being supportive of little children, I'm guessing?
Well, I think, you know, the testimony that we heard in committee from lots of families from all around Michigan was pretty compelling, that really families struggling, mortgaging their homes, cashing in their 401ks, really just putting themselves in tremendous financial debt situations just to try to get the care that their children need. So I think those of us who sat on the committees that heard the bills, Senate Health Policy, which I'm the vice chair of, took, you know, just hours and hours of testimony. It was pretty hard to turn a blind eye to the fact that these families really need some relief.
You know, I called the Autism Society of Michigan here in Okemos, and I thought they'd be clamoring to come on the program to applaud this legislation. But what they told me is that it's really not clear how extensive the coverage is and that there are a lot of details that may be complicating this legislation. Does their reaction make sense to you?
No, it's actually kind of interesting to me. There are a couple of different things happening right now in state government, though, and maybe that's what's a little confusing to folks. The bills that passed through the House and then came back to the Senate for concurrence and ended up heading their way to the governor's desk for his signature into law on just yesterday are very clear. Actually, there are two bills that are mandates on the health insurers that are basically the Michigan, Michigan regulated health insurers that mandate that they cover the diagnosis and treatment of autism spectrum disorders, with some ability to cap that coverage based on some age band. So like 0 to 6, they can cap that at $50,000, six and sort of into a next band of about $13,000 to $40,000, and above that to age 18 at $30,000.
Although state insurance regulations, they don't apply to these self-funded employer insurance plans, which GM, Home Depot, DTE Energy have. So in those instances, those who are covered under those insurance plans don't get the benefit of this legislation?
Well, the way that the law works is that those self-funded plans, the ERISA plans, those are all determined by federal law. So under state statute, we just don't have the ability to regulate them. But we did something interesting in this package of bills. So we have two bills that do the state mandate, and then we have a third bill that creates an incentive program the state will populate with dollars so that as insurance companies begin to cover this autism diagnosis and treatment, they can turn those billings into the state for reimbursement. And we didn't limit that just to the state plans. We allow the ERISA plans, the self-funded plans, really any other third-party payers who decide to go ahead and cover autism spectrum disorders, even though they're not mandated to get reimbursed for some period of time. So
now,
we're hoping that that's a...
I was going to say, one of the main points of criticism of the bill is the fact that it really is covering just autism. It's leaving all these other mental illnesses out of the mix. In fact, we have 35 states in the country that have what's called parity laws, and they found that mental health services, the use of them actually increases very marginally, and the cost of the increase is minimal, usually less than 1%. Why is there so much resistance here at the state capitol to allow a parity law?
Well, I think many of your listeners might know I was the biggest champion in the Michigan Senate for expanding this coverage to full mental health parity. I had a substitute that did get on the board for a roll call vote in front of the full Michigan Senate, and it lost 18 to 20. So it was a close vote, but not close enough to pass. I think for a lot of folks, this is new territory. It really is kind of something we haven't done in Michigan before. People were very nervous, I think, about what the financial implications would be of this type of coverage. And in the end, the way that I looked at it is I didn't want to deny some families the coverage that we could get now because some other families couldn't be covered through full mental health parity. And my hope is that by implementing the autism coverage, folks will see that it's not the scary financial boogeyman that they thought it was, and that we'll be able to take the next step to full mental health parity coverage within a period of time.
I see. But look, it's no secret that Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly was a big proponent of this legislation. He openly discussed that his own daughter has autism. Did his direct support move this to a vote? And do you think without the Lieutenant Governor vocally backing this legislation, it may have not come up for a vote?
Oh, I think there's no question that the Lieutenant Governor was a critical piece of this whole legislative process. He was very involved and hands-on, as he is with many legislative issues that are sort of in his area of expertise. I mean, we saw him working a lot in the tax legislation that came through last year as he was the vice chair of tax policy in the House before he became the Lieutenant Governor. And I think he certainly played a vital role in talking with people and telling stories of his own experience and experiences of other folks he knew. But in the end, I think in the end, people really had to sift through the facts and look at the number of families, like 15,000 families here in Michigan right now that have children with an autism spectrum disorder diagnosis that have no insurance coverage for that care.
I see. And there are certainly others, with other mental disabilities that remain out there. But as you say, hopefully, at least your hope is that at some point they'll be covered. I'm talking to Democratic State Senator Rebecca Warren of Ann Arbor. I do want to ask you about this 2020 plan. It was rolled out with a lot of momentum, but we haven't heard very much about it since. Look, the real question is the funding and whether it's really there. I know the Democrats have said there are tens of billions of dollars in tax breaks, but Republicans are saying, look, those are pretty much gone. We got rid of the MBT. A lot of tax breaks are off the table. We do not have that money there anymore. Do Democrats really know exactly how much money is available to fund this plan?
Oh, absolutely we know, yeah. And that certainly we do have the MBT that's being replaced by a corporate income tax, so some of those particular credits will disappear, but many folks will continue to file under the MBT for as many as 20 additional years, so that's not as imminent, I think, as some people might portray it to be, number one. But number two, a lot of these credits are against other revenue streams, not just the MBT, so there really are still, tens of billions of dollars out there for credits that we're looking at.
It's interesting because I know Senator Whitmer said it's $34 billion. I had Roger Kahn on the program. He said it's probably like $3.4 billion. That seems like a huge margin of error there.
Well, I would say it's definitely way more than $3.4 billion. I can't say off the top of my head what the exact number is, but I would say it's much closer to the $30 billion mark than the $3 billion mark.
I wonder who has the real answer.
You said it had been unrolled and then it had been kind of quiet. The exciting thing is we do have the expectation that there will be a hearing in the Michigan Senate committee on these bills after the spring break. So hopefully we'll have the chance to make our case and to prove the facts of where we think these dollars are and that investing them in higher education will make a really big difference in terms of keeping our young people here in the state and reversing the economic challenges that Michigan's been facing for the last 10 years. So look for something big from us in the end of April.
I have to admit, me and my producer, James, we tried to figure some of this information out. Do you have a source in 10 seconds or so? Do you have a source of where we could maybe get some of the details of exactly what that number is?
We actually have a website. There's a SenateDems2020.com website that you can go to that has some additional information on it. And There's also contact information on there. If you don't see answers to the specific question you have, feel free to reach out and contact us, and we'll get you all the documentation that you need.
Sounds good. We'll do that. Rebecca Warren, State Senator, Democrat out of Ann Arbor. Rebecca, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks so much. It was a pleasure to be talking with you.
Excellent.